This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
I wasn't thrilled with the broadcast.
Oh, my God.
And overall,
Tom,
it was a little
nonplussed.
Tom lived
up to the game, I thought.
He did.
You learned nothing from him.
Well, you did. You learned that he is a star.
Well, you learned he's overwhelmed.
And he's a bit overwhelmed, and he's a bit unnatural in the booth.
I just always remember waking up the next morning, and I thought, that's a nightmare. But that game didn't happen.
Poor Tom. Tom, what are you seeing? Hey, I think that's Patrick Mahomes, and he's sitting on the sideline.
And it's a difficult feeling to have, but if there's anybody that can rebound, it's Patrick Mahomes.
What are you doing?
It's not great.
No, it is not great.
It's just in. Not great. But like Patrick Mahomes, this was Tom Brady's worst Super Bowl.
There was no insight.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
To me, they're perfect.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I went back yesterday and watched some of that game again. It was as bad as I thought. There was no reason to go back.
Good morning, Mully.
Just habit, Mr.
Why would
David.
You do that? Why would you do that to yourself?
Well, I got to be honest with you.
Because the Hawks are off, the Bulls are off, everybody's off. You went back and watched some bad football.
I hadn't spent enough time with Kendrick Lamar. And so I knew I was going to go back and watch that. And I wanted to know some of the references he was making. So I started looking into that a little bit. And then I thought, wow, what a ridiculous thing for a grown man to do, to go back to examine the halftime show. I should go through the game a little bit. I started going through the game. It was It was as bad as you thought.
Yeah, the second time around, nothing changed.
Nothing changed.
Although, if you were watching and you had the volume up, or maybe you zeroed in on maybe the close-ups, did you notice Tom Brady's $740,000 watch the second time around?
No, didn't look okay. For the watch, didn't notice the watch.
He had to notice the watch.
He has a $740,000 watch?
Yeah. Again, didn't you notice the watch on Sunday night?
I don't have a watch.
I don't wear a watch either, but I think
in my life wear a watch. Brandon, do you wear a watch? You don't have a watch. Dustin doesn't have a watch.
I used to wear a watch all the time. I loved wearing a watch. I thought it was very cool. Had this nice, I just really loved wearing a watch. And then I lost a watch, and I hated wearing a watch. I didn't want to do it ever again.
Because you lost.
Yeah, because I lost it.
I went to a baseball tryout camp, and I lost a really nice pair of sunglasses. And I have never again invested
in a pair
of sunglasses.
What were you playing? What position were you playing?
No, I was just covering all the local guys going out.
Oh, I thought maybe you were. No. I didn't know if this was like going back to your youth.
No. No.
I'm just asking.
I wasn't there for a tryout.
I was observing. I just want to know. Yeah.
No. I was there apparently to lose my sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
that probably were nothing as expensive.
So you stop wearing sunglasses. That's the connection.
Pretty much that. And it's the same type of thing.
When you lose things, you don't want to get them back because you're afraid of losing them again.
That's it.
Like today, I lost my ID.
Yes, you are.
Can't get in the building.
No one will even acknowledge you.
I know. Nobody's really like, I walk in, security, everybody's kind of looking the other way.
Security's wrestled you to the ground three times already.
Very uncomfortable.
I feel better about being in the building.
took me a couple different times to try to get in and sneak around the security desk.
They're very nice.
They're very cordial. And yes. It was very accommodating. So, yeah. And days like this, you appreciate the people who do those kind of jobs, especially because you can't find your ID.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we digress.
But that's just a pain, isn't it? Like, I don't know if you've ever misplaced your wallet. Like, I've never really lost all my IDs, but I did. I once got up in the morning, was getting ready, and I somehow put my wallet on the shelf of the closet. I was without a wallet for a week, and I didn't know how to, I didn't know up from down.
It's difficult, and it's less, I think, maybe difficult now or troublesome if you lost your wallet because of all the things you keep on your phone.
Yeah, that's
true. Now, if you lost your phone, which is okay.
Have you lost your phone? You're just looking desperately for your phone.
I had to make sure I had my phone before I said something like that. I have never lost my phone.
Yeah.
But I have forgotten it places. The other night at the United Center, for instance.
Oh, really?
I thought that it was in my pocket. I left the seat. I went to the corridor, realized I didn't have my phone, went back to my seat, and it was there on the bench.
Oh, that's good.
So that was good.
That's terrible losing a phone.
We all have close calls.
Right.
And maybe it's a sign you're doing too much.
You know, the other thing is, like, I left my phone in an Uber one time, and then I was like, oh my God, I got to call that guy. I can just call, and then I didn't have my phone.
You couldn't call him.
Exactly. But I mean, you have these weird thoughts that go through your head.
Yeah. You had to go to the landline.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
The rotary dial.
Find a landline. Why don't you do me a favor? The next time you find some landlines, hit me on the hips.
My mom still has a landline. She still uses it. Yeah.
I meant more like a phone booth.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, no,
like,
you can't find a phone booth.
There aren't any, are there?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. There used to be. I used to know where a couple were.
No, I can't imagine there being a phone booth anywhere. It'd be a waste of space.
What about beepers? Do you still have a beeper?
No, it's not the 90s. Unless you're a drug dealer. I don't think there's any need for beepers or a surgeon.
A surgeon?
Surgeons and drug dealers.
Yeah,
they would have beepers.
That's right.
No, never had to worry about that.
Never had a beeper?
Never had a beeper.
Only one phone line?
Yeah.
You ever have like a backup phone?
No, I don't know. Like, you had two phones at one point. I don't understand the need for two phones. It's two things to keep track of.
The most I ever had at one time was three. But that's a big thing in the NBA. People have a lot of phones.
Why would you have three phones?
I have my phone, and then I got a deal with somebody, so I accepted a phone, and it was like for like a year, and then I had a little burner phone that I was using at one point in my life.
That's an interesting sentence.
It was more,
I had a burner phone that I used at one point in my life.
Yeah, it was more for work-related things.
I see.
Yeah, but it looked... I did look like I was dealing a lot of drugs.
Well, I think if you have three phones and one is a burner that you go by your alias, I think that's really something that you should be a little concerned about.
But I did at one point in my life.
And not speak of publicly ever again.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have mentioned it.
Was that your spy days?
No.
Okay.
never.
I know we're not supposed to talk about that.
Never convicted.
Ever on the air, publicly.
Jeez.
But... Yes, I got in the building.
Good.
Things are going well.
Well, that's good.
Stayed up a little bit later than I wanted to. You know, I was intrigued by Luka and the Lakers.
Really? You stayed up and watched
the Luka show.
What time did that begin?
9:30.
Wow.
Yeah, I was curious. I was very curious. You know what I liked about it is that Luka has, at least outwardly, and I think this is genuine, seemed very humble throughout the entire process.
Huh.
And very accommodating to everything that's happening to him. And he understands what it means to the league and the Lakers. Last night, I think they also gave him quite a welcoming intro. They introduced him last, the typical LeBron spot. And he was gracious, played 23 minutes, had 14 points. Did not stay up for the whole thing. I wanted to see how he fit in early. You know, they're going to defer to each other. They're overly deferential.
He was overly deferential.
Yeah.
He just wanted to distribute the ball.
And break a sweat and get back in rhythm.
Hadn't
played since Christmas. That's crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Lakers have won 10 out of 11. That's a team that they didn't. The trade didn't go through. They didn't get their big man, Mark Williams. They're going to probably.
Yeah, what happened there? Why did that not go? I heard it didn't go through.
Failed physical.
He failed the physical.
Yeah, but now they're challenging that. And I think that it could be something that they look into. I don't know where that is headed.
Wow.
But that's a big move.
How bad was the injury that failed the physical? So he's not able to play?
Not yet.
Okay. All right.
Everything could be fluid because it was the way I understand it. It was quite a surprise.
On his knee?
Perhaps.
The fluid?
not everything is fluid on his knee.
Oh, it was in his shoulder, too?
The exact reasons for the failed physical aren't really known,
okay,
according to the reports. But multiple issues, not the back injury that kept him out for most of last season. If you're Dalton Connect, where are you connecting?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Here in limbo.
You're off.
But I enjoy watching the Lakers. That's the team that I've always really,
really
liked from afar.
Huh?
Growing up in Northwest Indiana,
sure.
I wasn't a big Bulls fan growing up. I have to just be honest. I wasn't a big Pacers guy either. I just loved Magic Johnson and the Lakers.
Yeah.
So now I've always been a Lakers fan.
He was really good. Yeah.
Magic Johnson was more than really good.
No, Magic Johnson was really good.
Magic Johnson was great.
Well, he was good. I remember a friend of mine, it was a guy I worked with at Montgomery Ward's back in the day. He had a nephew who was being recruited to Michigan State, and he went there, and Magic was like showing him around. How do you not go to Michigan State when Magic is your tour guide?
You go. You go the minute that he smiles and greets you at your car.
Yeah.
And we have had a Montgomery Ward and phone booth reference in the first 10 minutes of the show.
Ward's, I worked at Ward's Paint. Is that now, it's no longer,
it's
right?
It's no longer.
Yeah.
Montgomery Ward's gone.
Yeah.
But not forgotten.
I used to love.
Certainly not forgotten.
Working there, had a lot of
big
fun.
Big part of Chicago history.
A lot of good people went through the paint department.
So the paint department produced a lot of good people?
Yes. Yeah, well, I had a lot of good friends who worked at Ward's Paint with me. It was fun. We had a lot of laughs.
Those were the days.
They were some great days.
So you did not watch any of Luka and the Lakers? Was I just kind of fascinated by myself there?
I
was curious.
I got up and I watched the entire game on my phone before even brushing my teeth. Like, I got up a little bit early just to see what went down. So I watched like a condensed kind of 9-minute version of the whole game.
It helped that they had the Jazz in town to play. And that's a bad team. It was a good opening opponent for a Laker team kind of finding its way with its new next great Laker. And so
it's new next great Laker.
Luka's the next great Laker.
Oh, he's already the best. But listen,
it's LeBron's team, and now they're going to figure out how it all works and it goes together.
Luka said that his cousin is going to take Bronny's spot. It's pretty ugly.
That could get ugly.
They're really.
That could get ugly. Bryce James is signed or committed to Arizona.
Right.
And I always thought that he was the better of the two brothers. But I was told over the weekend in trying to talk, I've been talking about this Luka thing for a long time. You know,
anyone who will listen.
Thank you.
There you go.
But Bryce James had offers from Arizona, USC, Ohio State, and Duquesne. The suggestion being that a lot of the offers were because of his father.
Well, Ohio State is his dad. Duquesne, for sure, is his father. That was his high school coach. Right?
USC because of
his brother.
And then he signed with Arizona. He must be pretty good to sign with Arizona, right?
let's see if he plays.
Okay.
I mean, his, you know, Bronny didn't start, right, at USC?
I don't think he did. Came off the bench, kind of like Patrick Williams.
He's a three-star high school basketball athlete, what they're saying right now. Three stars can get you to Arizona? That's kind of something.
There has to be a connection, or there has to be a draw.
Steve Kerr?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure, but
they have a lot of sway.
It was surprised, because I always thought the thing, and I don't even think he starts for his high school team. I think he comes off the bench. Sierra Canyon. I know a lot.
Yeah,
I know way too much about the James family basketball.
So he's a backup high school player who's going to Arizona.
I think so. That was where they got over the weekend.
And had like three or four offers, like to Division I schools.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's right.
It's a little crazy. But I'll have to look into it more. Maybe I'll talk to some of my high school basketball peeps, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get on that one. Just because you need to know.
I need to know. I'm very curious.
LeBron's family.
Very curious.
How many kids does LeBron have?
I think he's got two sons and a daughter.
And what is she? Does she play in anything?
I'm not sure.
Oftentimes you'll find, like, you know, a really good athlete in a basketball family in an unexpected place. It's not unusual.
You do wonder if Bryce were – I wondered. I think this is how the conversation started. If Bryce were good enough to be a one-and-done type of a player next year, would LeBron try to hold on and orchestrate some sort of scenario and play with both his kids?
Is LeBron going to
– The James family, Luka, and a center.
Is LeBron going to hold on in the G League?
Will that make LeBron stay longer now with Luka there? Because that's the thing. Now
Luka,
I can get closer to a championship.
That's the context. That's what I was talking about. Luka probably has lengthened LeBron James' career. How much? Well, maybe long enough to play with Bryce, too. That's what I was wondering.
Okay. That was well spoken, Brandon.
Thank you for connecting the dots in a way that I just couldn't.
He gave you a good hook there.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he did.
I don't know that I care about LeBron's the length of his career. I think there's a lot of value to LeBron.
Do you have LeBron fatigue?
Not at all. No. I'm too exhausted by the Chiefs.
Chiefs fatigue. So are they.
Yeah. It was interesting to hear some of the post-game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to Nick Sirianni. His news conference, they do that, you know, the next morning news conference. I just enjoy that. Just the coach that won. He said something along the lines, and I thought about calling you, Brandon, and trying to see if we should pull the audio, but then I got to my senses. But he said something about Vic, like he has long been the best defensive coordinator. Like he's an underrated coach because he's long been the best defensive coordinator in the NFL.
You take for granted that he's going to be as good as he is?
That was kind of what he said.
And I also think that we forget, at least I overlooked when talking about it yesterday, we just gloss over the Miami Dolphin experience and experiment. And apparently he did not like – well, I talked to one guy who suggested this. He did not really like working in the Mike McDaniel regime.
You could understand that.
Yeah, kind of oil and water.
Old school football coach type with this, you know, younger kind of hipper. Oh, man. We both went for hip.
But I think then going back to Philly, you understand it. Even though Sirianni's a little bit younger, he's a more Philly prototype. And Vic, being a Philly guy, kind of felt more at home there. And he just – the transition was seamless. And
Sirianni's a Jersey guy, but that's kind of – there's Philly guys, right?
Well, I didn't mean like Jersey Philly guy right in his necessary upbringing. He fits in that culture seemingly
just sort of the,
really well.
Yeah.
He's there.
Cranky, complaining fans.
Yeah, they're winning and he's complaining, he's screaming. They're losing and he's doing the same thing. He's kind of a guy that's happy being unhappy.
Yeah,
sometimes
it felt like he didn't fit in at all in Miami, to the point where the players – didn't like that he was kind of cranky to him and demanding, whereas everybody else gets the kind of, you know, bro hug and everything's going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, Vic's a football coach, and not every culture is in the NFL is conducive to that. You know, he has a different style that didn't apparently fly in Miami very well. So
is it the sun? Is it the nice weather? What is it that wouldn't work? the colors?
It's
Miami?
Hard to say because Miami, they've had some very good teams that
sure they have.
Would be contrary to any kind of label you would put on that. But you do think that there's just a grittiness to being the defensive coordinator for the Eagles that would appeal to a guy like Vic Fangio in a way that being the Dolphins defensive coordinator didn't.
I was talking to a sports writer one time who had interviewed Shula.
Don Shula
years ago, and he was having like a nice lunch with him, and he said he blurted out something like, has anyone ever made fun of your jaw? Did you ever get a lot of grief about your jaw? And Shula's like, what about my jaw? Like, didn't understand that he was kind of, you know, had a very pronounced jawline.
Square jaw.
Yeah, very square-jawed guy. But isn't that, and then the guy said that he literally was like, habana, 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 habana. But isn't that a ridiculous thing to blurt out at a lunch with a guy like Don Shula?
Pretty bold, pretty blunt, yeah. I not very subtle at all.
I broke bread with him once.
With Don Shula?
With Don Shula.
Was it at Shula's?
At Shula's in Chicago with Doug Buffon.
Oh, that'd be a great lunch.
It was unbelievable.
Wow. Did you just observe? Did you listen? Did you participate?
I didn't need to speak.
Think with those two.
It wasn't really about me telling a story from my childhood. It was more.
Montgomery Ward stories on that day?
No phone booth references or Ward's paint conversation.
Doug Buffon and Don Shula, what was the context?
They did know each other.
Know each other from?
Yes, from back in the day.
Their paths would have overlapped at some point.
Yes.
Doug's path overlapped with many people.
Doug was such a wonderful connector.
Yeah.
And he was one of those people, and there are people like this in life, that just keep in touch with everyone,
mm-hmm.
that will like swoop in and, you know, you can have warring factions within your group, and yet one guy will be able to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
And he had that ability.
He had the gift. Yeah.
Just being able to
connect and relate to so many different types of people.
Connectors.
For a guy that was such a well-established and accomplished NFL player, never came across as a guy that was on this pedestal that everybody placed him.
Extraordinary. There are people like
that.
But
what was that lunch like? Was it dinner, lunch, breakfast?
It was more of like a later afternoon kind of post-show.
Mm-hmm.
He was in town, and we had interviewed him, and then we walked over to, it was right across the street from where the Score used to be. It was like a moment in history.
Was he impressive? Shula?
Yeah. He was excellent. You know, Doug's very impressed. They talked football.
Oh, yeah.
And we just kind of chatted about
stuff. You know who worked for Don Shula briefly was Dave Wannstedt.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave worked for him. And then that was before he went to Dallas, I believe.
Dave was going to go, Dave was going to go work for Shula in Miami.
Yeah.
And then
Then Jimmy got the job.
Yeah, I think Dave was at the university. We should ask him.
He's told that story.
Yeah, they used to
wait for Don Shula to come into the meeting.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
It was like waiting for the Pope to arrive and everything. He walked in and the tone changed.
When Dave was here, Mike Shula was on his staff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had like a connection to the Shulas.
The Shulas are still very much part of the NFL. I think Chris Shula is the Rams defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely made a mark. And I didn't have I was in Don Shula's company at one point, but it was like he was at a Hall of Fame event, I believe it was, but never dined with him.
Well, I mean,
that's impressive.
It sounds like my role in the meal was, I think, Don asked where the salt was, and I immediately produced salt and pepper.
Did you cut?
And I said to him,
Doug's
I said
steak.
He looked at me as I gave him both, and I said, Miss Manners says they're married. You're supposed to have both. I said something like that. That was pretty much my exchange with him. I swear to God.
No, that is true, though.
It is true.
That is true. The salt is married to the pepper, so
I had been told that whenever you pass the salt, you also pass the pepper.
I don't think I would break that to Don Shula.
I think I was mumbling it to myself. I was pretty overwhelmed.
I think if Don Shula wanted the salt and the pepper, he'd ask for the salt and the pepper. He's definitely a very specific, organized, detailed man.
As I recall, I reached for the salt, threw some over my shoulder, grabbed the pepper, and then produced it with a mumble.
That is a bit presumptuous, though, because I think that if you wanted the pepper, I'd ask for the pepper.
You know what? They're married.
I don't think so.
They are married at the table.
I think that's an old-fashioned thing. Now I think that if you want the salt and pepper, you'd ask for them separately. I don't think I'd necessarily...
Oh, look at you, Mr. Nouveau everything.
I'm just thinking about if I'm at a restaurant.
You know what you are, honestly? More than anything else, rude. If Miss Manners says it, you do it.
I am many things. I do not believe I am rude.
You're only giving him the salt. Oh, I'm sorry. Where's the pepper? Now you want the pepper.
I'm being considerate. I don't want to give somebody something they can't handle, didn't ask for.
I think it's considerate when you follow the rules of table manners.
I can't believe we got here just by saying that you didn't wear a watch.
I didn't. You lost your ID. The whole show went to hell the minute you were banging on the door outside.
I wasn't banging. I knocked politely.
No. I just know that Brandon jumped up and ran out of the room.
Yeah, that's because Dustin ignored me.
Did you notice?
Well, sorry, I had to replay audio for 30 minutes.
Did you notice that the garage was shut again?
Yes.
Does anybody know what that's about? And by the way, I never got no one bothered to tell me.
Yeah, you did. You got an email.
Did I really?
Check your email.
I'm not going to do that while I'm driving.
I'm just saying, you got an email.
Usually,
we
all
got an email Friday.
I didn't know that.
Friday afternoon emails though? Those don't kind of
just saying they checked the box. Okay. They checked the box. There's construction going on. One entrance.
Again?
You got to go to the other entrance. Oh, it's not that hard.
Are they going to tell us when they open?
I'm just changing my routine.
You already have changed your routine?
Changing my routine.
So you're doing a U-turn right
now? I got it.
Wow. Look at you.
I got to adapt.
All right. We got to adapt, too. We got to get to the pick six. Tons of good questions today. Should have a lot of laughs with it. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-based insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with the contractors from finishingchicago.com. Where do you rank the two Super Bowl quarterbacks now based on their performance the other night? Is Mahomes the GOAT, or does Tom Brady retain the title? What about Joe Montana, 4-0 in the big game? Is Jalen Hurts a top 10 quarterback? Is he now top 5?
Interesting stuff all the way around. You know, Mahomes, that hurts his quest for GOATdom. He's now 3-2 in the Super Bowl. And he, I believe, has lost the two games by a combined 40-something points, right? Tom, 7-2 in Super Bowls, and his two losses totaled 15 points.
Can we agree on one thing?
What's that?
The first Super Bowl that Tom Brady played in, he was passenger, not driver.
Tom Brady won 7 Super Bowls, David.
The Patriots won the first one for him, but I'm sorry.
So you think that they mugged everybody to get to him? I remember being confused and wondering if they were going to bring back Drew Bledsoe and why they were going with Tom. And it was fun to watch the documentary about the Patriots in the early days. It was really interesting stuff. But yeah,
Tom, I'm sorry.
Tom started out as passenger. I mean, we can agree on that, and then became the driver, no question about it. But anyway, Joe Montana, 4-0, is pretty good in Super Bowls. I think he's forgotten. Tom's a GOAT. There's no way around it. So I think that conversation's over. Jalen Hurts, definitely a top 10 quarterback now. Not a top 5 quarterback, sorry.
How close?
He's in the top 10. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? I don't know.
I'd like you to tell me where he sits. Maybe we don't
Who's
do it right now, but maybe before 10 o'clock.
You got it.
David's shaking his head over there, so we're going to get to that.
He's about 9.
All right.
Or 10. But he's in the top 10.
Okay. There's no doubt he's in the top 10, and I could push for the top 5, but we don't have to do that. Maybe tomorrow. But he's definitely a top 10. There's no doubt about that. Tom Brady, still the GOAT. Did lose 3 Super Bowls though. He was on the losing side 3 times. But I think part of his GOATness is when he left the Patriots, went to the Bucks, and then beats Mahomes in a Super Bowl. Basically a script that the Eagles ripped off and used to beat Mahomes again a couple years later. Joe Montana probably 2, Patrick Mahomes 3 right now, because Montana won all the Super Bowls that he got to, 4-0. And that is the reason Jordan is the greatest to ever play a team sport, because every time he got to a championship, he won the championship, LeBron James.
He never had a performance in any finals as bad as Mahomes had on Sunday night.
Who's that, LeBron James?
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's got to be a way to get Jordan into every conversation about Mahomes. I know he did.
I love the Jeffrey. Thank you.
Mahomes isn't done yet, and this was a bad moment for him. This is his worst moment, likely, as an NFL quarterback. I'm not giving up on Patrick Mahomes' ability to maybe one day become the greatest ever. I understand it's still Tom Brady. You want to put Joe Montana in there, great. I love Joe Montana. There might be another guy you want to make the argument. That's okay. Patrick Mahomes is maybe, what, halfway through his career? He's not even 30 yet, is he?
Tom won his 4th, or was it his 5th?
Tom did not win his 4th.
37.
Tom's first was one for him. I think these are things that get exaggerated in time. I'm not done on Patrick Mahomes. This is going to be a before and after moment in his career. This is going to be a Jordan-esque-like response to adversity and failing in the big game. So I think Patrick Mahomes is still capable of doing everything he was capable of achieving before the game. This takes him a step back, but these the great ones take one step back and two steps forward. I'm waiting for that. As for Jalen Hurts, he's the most coachable quarterback in the NFL. He does everything right and within the system. He also is the consummate leader, one of the greatest all-time winners. There's only two other quarterbacks who were starters for national championship teams and Super Bowl champions. That's Joe Montana and Joe Namath and Jalen Hurts. He's in some elite company, but he's not a top five quarterback. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, Joe Burrow. Then I take Herbert. I would probably...
When has Herbert ever played in February?
Put him on a playoff team. Put him on a team with the
he lost in the playoffs.
Put him on a team that's better than just happy to get there. He's a. You'd think that Jalen Hurts is, if you had to pick one quarterback for a team that's ready to go, you think you'd rather have Jalen Hurts than Justin Herbert?
100%.
Okay, I'm not sure I would. That's a good debate, but I'm not sure I would. It's easy to say that now. I love Jalen Hurts.
That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the now. He's won a Super Bowl.
I think getting him top five is getting over your skis, Dustin. Top 10, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I said maybe.
You got CJ Stroud ahead
of
him?
Yes.
That's a great question.
We'll get into this later.
Ben Johnson held his first full coaching staff meeting on Monday. What do you think his overall message was? What do you want this staff to emphasize, and how much will Johnson do delegating?
We get into really dumb arguments sometimes.
I know. I'm sorry.
Top 5 and 10 quarterbacks in the current NFL is a dumb argument?
That's my fault. I'm sorry. Ben Johnson meeting with his coaching staff for the first time. I would have loved to have been in there because I would have liked to have seen the way that he projected to guys who are NFL lifers. Guys who, you know, Richard Smith, the 69-year-old linebackers coach, and frankly, Dennis Allen, the former head coach, and all these guys and how they're consuming what Ben Johnson is spreading and out there and what the message he's sending. I think this has got to be a staff whose number one objective is to do what the last staff did not do a good job of, holding players accountable. The scheme part will come in time. They'll get used to each other's tendencies and idiosyncrasies and how they all work together. But there's got to be a unified message about accountability that every coaching staff that comes together for the first time wants to project. The Bears can't get this one wrong. So I would love to see the way that he connected, the way that he led, and how he felt in terms of the comfortability of being in the front of that room for the first time with all of these other guys watching and waiting to see what all the hype was about. Ben Johnson, head coach, first time he gets a chance to be that guy in front of his staff as a whole. That would have been fun.
It's going to sound cliche, but I think in this aspect, it's very important. We heard Eberflus say it. I think we even heard Ben Johnson say it at his opener. Be where your feet are. They're no longer in Detroit. The Lions players are not in the Bears locker room. So I think it's very important to understand what you're working with here, what your cards are, if you will. What poker hand are you playing? So I think it's very important that they are now realizing that they are in Chicago, they're at Halas Hall, they're dealing with this current roster. I think Ben Johnson's going to delegate a lot. I think Dennis Allen has been chosen as the defensive coordinator for a reason. I think some of these young guys that Ben Johnson sees in himself have been brought over and given titles of offensive coordinator and passing game coordinators to do a lot of the things that Ben Johnson's not going to have time to do. So I think he's going to delegate a ton, and I think be where your feet are is the message that I hope Ben Johnson's shared with his staff on Monday.
Yeah, you know, I hope that he gave out kind of player profiles. I hope he told them, hey, this is what we need. We need a guy who can do this, this, and this. And as you go through the tape, if you feel a guy can't do that, throw up a red flag and we can start picking apart this team. We need everybody to break down every player in this organization, and we want you to tell us who looks good and who doesn't. Let's get this done. Let's start meeting about players immediately. Let's start getting the talent level raised, and let's start figuring out what we have and how we're going to fix it. If there's somebody that you see some element to their game that you feel like you can impact, let's hear it. Let's hear it right now. I mean, it's a, you know, I think you're tearing it down and you're starting from scratch. I think you need to know what you have and what you're looking for. And so I hope that he makes that very clear to everybody that is doing it and gets scouting reports from every one of them. The other thing is, you want people on the record. You want people saying, oh, yeah, I like this guy. I can't work with that guy. You just want it on the record how they rate a guy, what they think of the guy, and they're going to have to make – when you have to put your name on something, you do the job a lot differently.
That's another question.
Ah, that's the voice of Ruthie Polinsky. She's part of this question. With the Eagles on the Bears' schedule next year in Philly, as Ruthie Polinsky wondered in a tweet, what do you think of a possible matchup opening night of the 2025 season? The defending champs versus Ben Johnson.
You know, I don't think much of that idea. I don't think the Bears are the team to showcase on the opening of the Eagles season. I believe they're at Green Bay and they're at Minnesota, but they're home to Detroit. So if you're looking for a non-conference game, that might be a good one to have the Eagles open up against the Lions, because that's a more likely NFC championship, non-divisional, right? I mean, we know that the Washington game will be big and everything, but you don't want to open the season with a divisional opponent. So I think I just feel like that might be a better game for national television than the sacrificing of the Chicago Bears. Watching them slice and dice.
I think there's something to this, to be honest. I really do. I predicted a Bears at Commanders Sunday Night Football. That's what I was kind of thinking, was it would be an interesting matchup. But as a Bears fan, I could get on board. Like, typically, teams don't usually do great the night they drop banners and hand out rings and celebrate what happened the year before. So if the Bears were going to catch the Eagles, right? In May, I believe it's May, we find out the exact dates of NFL teams playing each other. We know who they're playing. We just don't know when. We know away and home right now. I like that idea. I could get on board with that idea. When I saw that yesterday, I thought the same thing, and I thought that might be a spot for the Bears to catch the Eagles.
I think the Bears would be better later in the year than
early. I love it. If you, number one, from the Bears' perspective, you're going to play the toughest team on your schedule, the defending Super Bowl champions. You want to play them early. You want to play them in the opener, and you want to play them when they don't have their act together and might be still celebrating that Super Bowl from the year before. There's no better time to play the toughest team on your schedule than the opener, because that's when fluky things happen. We all remember the mudslide against the 49ers the year that
poured rain
at Soldier Field, and that was a fluke, as it turned out.
A great playoff run.
So beat the Eagles or play the Eagles early. And plus, that allure of the Chicago market on the season opener. I know that Lions and the Eagles make more sense from a football perspective and a matchup, but the marquee value of a Chicago audience against the Eagles, defending Super Bowl champions, the debut of Ben Johnson, super coach. You know, everybody's talking about Ben Johnson. In the offseason, he will dominate in terms of the newness coming into the league. I think it's a great matchup, marquee value, and I hope it happens.
Terrific question. Need to get that answer. Don't have it for you today.
Bruce Levine's out in Arizona. We're going to bring in Bruce Levine, 8:25 this morning. What did you make of the Athletic story on the Cubs, considering 40-year-old Justin Turner as a potential addition if they don't sign Alex Bregman? Are you good with that?
I don't know that I'm good with that yet. I want this question reasked when they have to say no to Alex Bregman. I am not going to give up on the idea of Alex Bregman. I know it's down to the Red Sox and the Tigers, and Buster Olney says it's coming fast, and Bob Nightingale says this, and Jeff Passan says that. All the insiders are weighing in. I get it. Justin Turner, what do you got there? You got a 40-year-old who was had 460 at-bats last year, 11 home runs. He hit 259. He's a 1.5 WAR player. He is a veteran who knows how to win. He would be good for the clubhouse. He would buy Matt Shaw some time. I would, as you can tell, you could probably rationalize and talk me into that idea. I am not there yet. I'm not willing to accept a no on Bregman. Not yet.
Well, this would be typical Cubs landing the bridesmaid and not the bride. Justin Turner, every report out there is, whichever team doesn't get Bregman, Justin Turner is their go-to pivot. I was hoping, and we talked about this before, that it was going to be Moncada. Fresh start. Now, all of a sudden, the Angels are becoming White Sox West, right? All the great White Sox are now Angels. So that's interesting. I'm fine with that. I wouldn't mind Justin Turner because he could also play a little first base if you needed. He could also DH if needed. Him and Zach could joke around about being gingers, so that would be fun on Cubs radio. I'm all for Justin Turner if they don't land Bregman.
I thought it was interesting. Bregman has got to make a decision. So he would be the guy that says no, wouldn't he? He'll be the guy that picks the team. Or his, you know, agent and he, Scott Boras and he. So I think that you don't really control that unless you decide to meet every demand he has. So you just kind of I like the idea that they're working toward other possibilities. I like that idea because you just have to be responsible and understand you may really want the guy, but he may choose not to come here. And that's just the reality of it. I think it seems like an easy choice to most of us looking at it from afar, because if you don't get the contract you want and you're going to leave Houston, you got a couple of ex-teammates here. Why would you want to go to Detroit? You know, I can understand Boston, I suppose. It's a great town, and that's a fun ballpark to go to. But, oddly enough, I've been to Red Sox games, and I've been to Tigers games, and I think I'd rather go to a Cub game, just based on the kind of atmosphere and all the rest of it.
But the Tigers are a playoff team.
I'm just telling you, like, I know, it's lifestyle and the way your life goes.
A playoff team is the way your life would go. I can understand the allure of the Tigers.
I thought that the Tigers, they were a playoff team that caught fire and did very well. Is that sustainable?
You just don't like him because the manager nearly came to the White Sox and didn't come to the White Sox.
Well, that's true, and he knows that manager, so you would think that would come into play. You know, I don't know. I hope
he knows
comes
the way that
Chicago.
He communicates.
Well, he knows the drum beat.
I mean, I think you asked like four questions there.
Cubs manager Craig Counsell announced that starter Javier Assad will be shut down with an oblique injury. What's your concern level, and does it underscore how badly the Cubs need another starter?
Yeah, I didn't like hearing that. We'll get more today, right? We'll understand more after imaging, etc. But that is that's not good. If he can't go, you need another starter. They've got four good starters, right? But you thought he was going to be in the rotation. And I think that you hate any injuries to start the season. Oblique, key to the pronunciation of the word would be bleak. That is, whenever you hear that injury, that's not good. That is not a good injury. And it's not, you know, it's not season ending or anything like that, but it can mess with you for a long time. And it's hard to come back from it, and it can, you know, ruin a season or at least delay a season pretty significantly. And then when you come back, there's always the chance. You know, it's not a, it's not an easy injury to deal with. So I felt that that was really bad news, and I was hoping for better news, frankly.
Yeah, not what you want to hear right away. But again, keep in mind, Javier Assad is the fifth starter,
right,
at best. Okay, at best, he's the fifth
he's
starter.
He's fighting for a fifth starter.
No, David? Not the fifth starter?
Yes, he's the fifth starter, but you still have to have him contribute. If you don't have a fifth starter, who's his replacement?
I don't. Here, my point is, I don't. It's going to be a while till they need a fifth starter. Well, Ben Brown, Jordan Wicks. There's plenty of guys that can be the fifth starter, and they talked about stretching those guys out anyway. They're not planning for Brown or Wicks to be bullpen guys. Assad might be better out of the bullpen anyway, but obliques are tricky because obviously every time you move, your obliques are involved. Right. So he's got to get his core better, and he's kind of probably shopped at the Husky section and got the corduroy pants like I did back in the second and third grade. So stomach, not exactly his best attribute.
I cringe when I read oblique. I mean, you start to tighten up.
Yep.
I don't think this is good at all. Javier Assad, we can't celebrate his contributions last year and what made the Cubs so good and so deep in the rotation and then dismiss the possibility that he could be a guy you miss when he's gone. He's a big part of this rotation and what your expectations are. Matthew Boyd and Colin Ray, I know they were signed and I know they had veteran depth, but you got a problem on your pitching rotation. I don't think you're deep enough to be the kind of team that we talk about in terms of the Cubs and their aspirations. I think the best teams in the National League, the best teams in the major leagues, are teams that have pitching depth galore in their starting rotation, even if their guys are five and dive guys or they go four and they get out of there. I don't care. You need more depth. And the first day of training camp, of spring training, you already have a guy hurt. I don't like it at all. It only means, okay, if you don't get Bregman, you better be on some trade for a starting pitcher that's going to make a news like this not as tough to take.
You've got to cease and desist.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Pivoting back over to the NFL, will an NFL team offer Aaron Rodgers a starting job, and will he take it? Please make a case.
I think he could definitely be a starter in the NFL. It's not exactly the golden age of quarterbacks in the National Football League. We can debate about the top 10, looking forward to that. But the bottom 10 is terrible. The bottom 10 of quarterbacks in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers can find a job. Aaron Rodgers will have to adapt and adjust and come out of the darkness and see the light and be able to make sure that he's a good teammate again and is also going to be amenable to some to a different type of offense maybe. He's not going to be the assistant general manager and offensive coordinator and head coach. He's going to be a quarterback. And if he can play quarterback and just play quarterback again, there will be a team that will find a way to utilize what skill set he has left. So I do think he will find a job. I don't know how the trade will work out, but a team that will be looking for a bridge quarterback to a young guy, yeah, they're going to be able to justify bringing Aaron Rodgers aboard.
As you said, David, the quarterback position is not very strong in the NFL. I think he lands with the Raiders, assuming that he and Tom Brady are on the same page. Like, does Tom Brady see that he wants to do this again? They're also talking about Pittsburgh. I just don't see Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers working out. Now, I think there's a better talent in Pittsburgh than there is out in Oakland. But, I mean, Aiden O'Connell and Desmond Ridder are that's your quarterback tandem right now out in Las Vegas. I mean, Tom Brady may as well come back down and play. Right, you hear David snorting, giggling like a junior high school girl right now.
I mean, the Riddler,
his oblique.
Riddler,
yeah, he's in that outfit.
It's
the
Desmond
black
Ritter.
Okay, I mean, it's really,
yeah, it's, yes.
Okay. Let the afternoon Riddler show do that. Okay, you're better. No, than
I know,
that.
I know. You're better than that. I'm not. I'm trying not to laugh.
Obliques will hurt.
I don't care if it's the Penguin or if it's the Iceman.
But when you say Vegas, do you remember Chip Kelly is there? Chip Kelly and Aaron Rodgers are two very strong personalities. I have a hard time seeing them mesh, even though Pete Carroll could be a good guy for that.
Well, you said it. The first thing you said is that, you know, quarterback. Yeah, if you felt that the guy could play quarterback, and I think he can play quarterback, I would get definitely offer him a job. Problem is, does he come with his own receiving core? Does he want all these players with him? Are you left kind of having to sign certain guys? How happy would he be with what you're doing? For instance, the team most desperate to sign him would probably be someone like Tennessee. What would he do there? How would he be able to do all of the Aaron Rodgers stuff if he was with that group? It's a difficult thing to imagine, and he would have all sorts of ideas. So I don't know if he's interested in joining the program. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, like Texter brings up a really interesting point I heard yesterday being discussed. How about the Minnesota Vikings?
I mean, following the path of Brett Favre.
Yeah.
I mean,
but wow. If they lose Darnold and they're not sure about McCarthy because of the injury or just the uncertainty.
I mean, are they gonna try to bring back the New York quarterback? Is that a possibility?
Darnold is likely going to be
at
gone
at the end of the year. I'm talking about the guy from the Giants.
Oh, Daniel Jones.
Do they like him? Would Daniel Jones be a possibility there if you can do this quarterback healing thing with Sam Darnold? Could you do that with Daniel Jones? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how they feel about those guys. But I do think that Aaron Rodgers showed that toward the end of the year, he was removed enough from that injury that he looked like he could play a little bit.
Yeah.
There was a long time where he couldn't play, and then he didn't look like he could play, but he still had all his demands. So, I mean, would you pay him $50 million? I mean,
no.
How would you?
No, he's had to come down from that.
If he came way down and he didn't demand everything, he'd be very much a serviceable starter. Problem is, it's like dealing with him and then dealing with his persona. I don't know how you do it.
If you're a Bears fan, who would you rather see quarterback the Vikings next year, Aaron Rodgers or J.J. McCarthy?
J.J.
Yeah.
Of course.
I think you're right.
Yeah. All right, we got the extra point next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Get this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Bad as the Chiefs played, the mediocre game as the game was, the broadcast might not have been so great. How about the ratings juggernaut that drew over 130 million of you?
Well, that is a huge number. I am not terribly surprised. I am not in the camp that believes that the nation or anyone is getting tired of football. I don't think it's reached the tipping point. I don't think it's oversaturation. I think we are a nation addicted to football, and I am part of that, and we're part of that, and that's okay. Because you could make the other argument, and I don't want it to go in this direction, but I did say this the other day. There is really little in American society that unifies everyone as much as the Super Bowl, as much as football right now. It's the one thing that everyone, not everyone, but most people can agree on, that it's worth watching. It's the culmination of a season that entertains us. It's longer than ever. And thank goodness it is, because now, yesterday was the saddest day of the year. It was the day after football season is over. And now we have to wait until August to see it again. So not a big surprise. It have different tastes. Different people have different interests. My son is a hockey fan, for instance. My son is only a hockey fan. He did not watch the Super Bowl. He did not grow up watching the Super Bowl. He would rather watch with the kid the Puppy Bowl than the Super Bowl. It's not for everybody. I get it. But it's for most people. And I love it, and it doesn't surprise me. And if they play 18 games, we'll have that conversation. The Players Union will fight it, and we'll talk about the health and injuries, and we'll talk about concussions, and we'll talk about all the things. And then we'll say, okay, when's that 18th game? Because I want to watch.
Well, what else would you do on Super Bowl Sunday after 5 o'clock at night? There's no other sports on. Everything was out of the way. The golf tournament wrapped up. Hockey played early. NBA played early. College hoops was early. There was a triple header of great women's college basketball leading up to the Super Bowl.
Did you watch that?
I did not. I was watching at pregame. It peaked at 136 million, according to reports, during the second quarter of the game, and ended up averaging 126 million viewers. So the most ever watched U.S. TV event. But we also have streaming now, right? So that's part of this whole thing, why the numbers are as high as they've ever been. I'd love to know later today. Probably we'll find out all the official numbers. We'll also find out, okay, so it peaked at the second quarter. Is that because people had come for Kendrick Lamar in halftime? Was that part of it? Where was that number when we got to the fourth quarter, when the game was definitely in doubt? When one of our favorite Stella commercial aired. You know, they paid extra to be in the fourth quarter, and I bet that had its lowest amount of people tuned in at that point. So I just don't know what else you would do. What else you would watch? Would you go to a movie? Was there any good movies out at the movie theater this weekend? What would you do on Sunday night?
People have other interests. I mean, they do.
Did your son watch the game?
No.
He didn't go to a party or anything? I just think that the NFL has got it down. First of all, there's like a certain strategy. There's a certain physicality. There's like a violence, if you will, to the sport that attracts everyone. It's like the perfect made-for-TV event where the breaks are natural and the commercials can come in and it doesn't really interrupt the flow, the breaks that are there in it. And they market it correctly. It's a great event. And they have, it's like because of the dangerous nature of the game, because you can't play several games a week. Like, you get an 82-game schedule in the NBA, but every football game is one of significance and importance for every team and every fan base in the entire league. And then it all builds to the end of the year where you have this national spectacle. And, I mean, down to the people in attendance, all the celebrities that show up, all of the connection with the halftime show and all that stuff. It's pretty extraordinary the way that this has gone, you know, from the early marketing days. Do you know that photo? I always love that idea. Joe Namath sitting out. He's like laying on a lawn chair. There are like seven guys interviewing him. That was the beginning of like the big NFL. It's not like there were hundreds of media credentials or anything like that. It was like just a bunch of dudes standing there talking to him about the game. And then it's now become this kind of enterprise that has exceeded any expectations. I think football is the most popular sport. I think the Bears in this town are the most popular team. And I think that it's just like it's the sort of thing that becomes part. If you ever have the good fortune to get tickets and go to a game and go through the kind of Sunday ritual that it is. And I mean, for me as a kid, it was like on Sundays you had to get up and go to church and get back because you wanted to be able to watch the game. I mean, it was like a part. And sometimes the games weren't on. Sometimes you were listening to them. I mean, it's crazy.
You're making me sadder.
To think how popular. Why am I making you sadder?
Got to wait so long for the next football season.
See, and I will disagree with you. Monday's not the saddest day. The saddest day is this Sunday. When you get to the weekend and you get up on Sunday morning and you're ready for nothing? Like, it is. That is the day. And, you know, we're on the All-Star break, and we got the NHL not even there for you. I don't know, man. I mean, it's bleak. And I get it. We'll get into March Madness and all that.
No, it's not bleak.
This Sunday's bleak.
I'm not being bleak.
Sunday.
Yesterday was the dark day.
No.
I am all positive today.
The darkest day is Sunday, okay, when you wake up and you're ready for your – what? No? Huh? What? That's when the lack of season hits you.
Well, the NBA All-Star game will be Sunday. Oh, come brother. On. 176-205.
All right.
Bet the under.
We're going to get to your phone calls. 312-644-6767. Mully and Hall, the score. Get into really dumb arguments sometimes.
I know. I'm sorry.
Top 5 and 10 quarterbacks in the current NFL is a dumb argument?
That's my fault. I'm sorry.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. It's not a dumb argument. It's subjective.
It's subjective.
And so that's kind of the problem. I think we're ready to have our top 10 quarterback argument.
I've got my top 10.
I do too.
Here it is, Dustin.
I'm going with Patrick Mahomes, number one.
All right. Go give me your top five then.
I got Lamar Jackson, number two. I got Josh Allen, number three. I got Joe Burrow, number four.
All right.
I got Jared Goff at number five, followed by Matthew Stafford and Jaden Daniels based on this year. I'm putting Baker Mayfield at number eight, and I got number nine is Jalen Hurts, followed by Justin Herbert. That's my top 10.
All right, here's mine. That's a good one. It's a good list.
Well, I dropped C.J. Stroud.
It's a good list.
And hard to do.
Yeah, I'm going based on this year. Based on this year, Josh Allen, number one. Lamar Jackson, number two. Joe Burrow, number three. Mahomes, number four. Herbert, number five. Goff, six. Jaden Daniels, seven. C.J. Stroud, eight. Jalen Hurts, nine. Matthew Stafford, 10.
Can I go before
yes.
Dustin, just in case, because I think Dustin's going to be really good. Mine is Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, two. I got Josh Allen, three. Joe Burrow, number four. That's I got excellent. Matthew Stafford, number five. I got Jalen Hurts, number six. Jaden Daniels, C.J. Stroud, Jared Goff, and then Jordan Love.
You have Hurts higher than we do.
Yes.
I also dropped Love out of my top 10 on this year.
Me too. Not a lot of love for Love.
I guess, of course, we need parameters, right? Are we talking about
just give us a list.
No, because the list is different.
Just said it's subjective.
Right. Okay. Mahomes.
Right.
Josh Allen.
Good.
Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts. Then Joe Burrow. Then Goff. Then Stafford. Then Daniels. Then Baker.
Whoa. That's just a hot take.
What's not?
Jalen Hurts is the fourth best quarterback in the NFL. I know he just won a Super Bowl. Fourth best in the NFL?
Well, you know, can we
talk?
Been
to two Super Bowls in the past 3 years.
So, yes. So, Josh Allen was given the MVP award. why was he given the MVP award? Because he lost his top receiver, and they still won in the playoffs, and they managed to beat Lamar Jackson. Okay, Lamar Jackson, he had the best numbers, had the best year. He also had a really good running back join him. So his responsibilities changed and shifted, and he was helped. Josh Allen wasn't helped. I can understand that argument. But if you use that sort of logic, then you got to apply that. You know, if we agree that the Eagles are the best all-around team and that the running back was added, Vic Fangio made the defense.
But that's not the question,
though. No, but I just want to finish the thought. There were a lot of things that helped him this year as opposed to someone like Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Everyone's got their own list. It is very subjective. I wonder what Dave Wannstedt thinks.
Yeah, we'll have to get to that next. We'll ask Coach Wannstedt what he thinks. Mully and Hall on the score.